From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, closing your work week here in the Clark Ford studio. Appreciate Kermit Davis for joining us yesterday, and then we went completely off the rails, so who knows what's coming today on said show, but you are getting a plethora of podcasts here in the past 24 hours or so. The greatest pod in the South is up at rebelgrove.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Also, the same this morning can be said for the Soft Verbal presented by Billy's Pecans, where Russell Johnson discusses nothing but recruiting for about 55 minutes this morning. And then the Beer Garden, Russell Johnson staying on board for that one as well. And in the second chair as they talk NBA on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. So that and more today on the site that Mailbag published last night or this morning as well. So a lot of content early this morning at rebelgrove.com. And is the temperatures, at least for another day or so, starting to warm up around 80, 82 today, I think, before the rain comes in. It's time to tell you about those daiquiris at the Oxford Exxon again. We did it when they came out, and we'll continue to do so. Six different flavors. Get one as little as $3 or under there. They go up to all the way to, I think, 44 ounces if you want a lighter daiquiri. They've got Hurricane, they've got Peach, they've got a lot of different things. They got Margarita, Neil likes that one a little bit.
I do, I like
Strawberry.
So
a lot of daiquiri options there at the Oxford Exxon. Take advantage of it if you so choose. If that's not your thing, you can go to the Oxford Crystal and get the, was it the Red Hot Shake, Neil?
Is that right?
Get a little Red Hot Shake.
Yep, made with real Red Hots.
In your life from the Oxford Crystal. Those are on Highway 6 West. And to get to that location, you might want to check out Clark Ford.
I was just pulling up the weather. I'll tell you the weather after I tell you about Clark Ford. The weather over the next week, it's weird and good, but just one of the things I love about Oxford is you get seasons. After living in Mobile for, how long we lived there, 11 years? It's just summer all the damn time, just summer. It's just summer.
There's
like,
that much difference here to there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, dude. Not even. It's, you get seasons here. We're going to get seasons in the next week. Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then you get your quote. There's no hassle. There's no haggling. It's just you get a quote on a bottom line quote on a great deal at Clark Ford, and then you can shop that quote around. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, all of the podcasts that Chase just mentioned. Let's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. I've got a Clark Ford. You'd love a Clark Ford. Corey and the people there, they're great. It's just such an easy way to make your purchase. Great service after the sale, delivery options, all of those things. Mention that you heard about Clark Ford on any of our podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. So here's the weather for the next week here. Today, 82, like you said. It's going to be really nice most of the day. Kind of cloudy, sun. Tonight, chance of rain is 100%. That means that they are convinced it is going to rain.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 1 to 2 inches of rain expected.
That's a lot.
My yard can't take any more rain.
Well, I mean, it's going to, but
the grass is just gone. And I'd blame it on the dogs, but that the dogs haven't destroyed the front yard.
Yeah, I have one permanent wet spot kind of in front of my landscaping in my front yard that just never dries. It just is what it is.
So rain all day tomorrow into tomorrow night, and then Sunday the high here in Oxford is 50 on April the, what will that be, April the 15th, middle of April in Oxford, Mississippi, 50 degrees, low of 36 Sunday night, high Monday of 59. But then here comes spring in all of its glory. Tuesday 75 and sunny, Wednesday is 73 and mostly sunny. Good news for the golf tournament. Thursday, 70, sunny. Hard to beat that. Friday, 72, mostly sunny. Next Saturday, the 21st, baseball here next weekend.
Georgia,
74, mostly sunny. Chance of rain that night.
So a week out, weather guide's gonna shine pretty well on the web.com tour and the baseball.
Yeah, and then next Sunday, April 22nd, 68, mostly sunny,
pleasant.
Some rain late that night.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, 74 degrees and sunshine. Throw beer in the air.
You make that work.
Make that work.
Today is Friday the 13th. You're gonna have a a Jason Voorhees marathon tonight? Celebrate your favorite horror movies?
No, instead I'll probably watch more of Ozark, which is, I'm two episodes in.
I talk horror, and Neil finds horror in Ozark and Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad was like a horror movie to me. Ozark's very well done. I'm two episodes in. Please don't send me spoilers. Please, 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 please.
It's only been
please.
Out 2 years, so
I know, but sure. I just got to it. But give me, I'm going to binge it this weekend.
I was quickly on that. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was Chris Hardwick. He was talking to Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
You know, the character. And he was in Friday Night Lights and Breaking Bad. And he said that he had a blind script when he first got the thing, and he didn't watch Breaking Bad to that point. He had no idea how evil his character was. He knew nothing about his character. He had no idea about what was going to happen or anything. He walks in there and his first basically scene is the one that freaked you out the most, maybe of anything in the series. And he had no idea where it was going or where it had been to that point.
That scene.
Because there's a cold, calculated manner to Jesse Plemons' character in this show.
Yes.
And you just continue to see him as Landry from Friday Night Lights the entire time. It's like,
I did for a while.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I didn't.
You didn't anymore?
No. I'm going to tell you, when Breaking Bad ended, I mean, maybe this is it's a reflection on me just being maybe I'm soft. I don't know. When Breaking Bad ended, I just sat in place for a while and kind of reflected on that. And I thought to myself, I would never watch that again.
And now you're in Ozark. It's not Breaking Bad level, but it's good. It's got some suspense to it.
Well, he's fantastic.
Jason Bateman is terrific. It's
just terrific. And the writing's very good. The Jay and I talked about this on Greatest Pod in the South. The lighting, the way that they do the settings, really, really, really good. It makes you feel like you're there.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, I don't see you as a slasher film.
No. If you ever see me at one of those.
Do you have a favorite horror movie?
No. If you ever see me at one, call the police. I'm not there on my own will.
Psychological thriller, suspense, nothing. Like none of this genre whatsoever does it for you.
I really would prefer not.
Really?
Yes. And I know that makes me soft and whatever.
It's not even soft. I mean,
snowflake, whatever you want to call me.
I disengage enough to, like, I kind of laugh at it. Like, because, look, true slasher flicks are honestly funny because they're so stupid. Because
you wouldn't go back into the damned house. You're in the van. Go!
I mean, it just shows how much time has changed. Like, we've talked about this. You know, like, Halloween became this phenomenon when it came out in 1980 because it was the first one, I guess, or one of the first ones that wasn't a character piece, where it's just the teenagers doing the bad things are the ones that get killed. You know, suddenly Halloween comes out, and it's just, hey, you know, crappy stuff happens sometimes to people. There's a mental institution kid, and he's slicing some folks up. Here we are.
Little house cleaning from yesterday. We apparently owe Christopher Columbus more of an apology. He has his own day in Italy, we're told.
I wish I could screw something up and get days in three countries for screwing it up.
Man. Chris Columbus, boss.
Well, I mean, if you get lost and you keep driving down the wrong road and suddenly come to the end of the rainbow where there's a pot of gold, you still get the pot of gold,
don't you?
You get
the pot of gold. If you accidentally win the lottery, you buy one lottery ticket by accident and you win the $680 million.
Still got $680.
You're rich.
You take the lump sum, right?
Oh, yes.
Every time.
Oh, God, yes. Give me my money. Uncle Sam, take your cut and then get the hell out of my way.
You either get like $280 over 30 years or you just get like $160 now.
$160 now. You got yours, Sam? Okay, good. See ya. Because I ain't coming back.
You'd high five Uncle Sam for that.
I would. I would give him a great big hug.
Yeah.
A little kiss on the cheek. Stroke his beard, and then I'm out.
Island.
So gone.
Yeah, it's like, would you buy a car? No, I'd buy an island.
Yeah. A car? I'm never driving again.
So you got a personalized tag with a dog on it outside?
I did.
Not only does Neil have a pickup, he has a lab on his tag.
Exactly. I've decided that I'm going to take this all the way.
I mean, we're a couple weeks away from CB radios and gun racks. A tennis ball on a whip.
I told somebody yesterday, I said, where do I get a gun rack?
I have no gun.
I don't have a gun, but I want a rack.
No brush guard coming?
I don't know. There's no telling.
Trailer hitch?
It's possible. Why not?
Gooseneck trailer hitch?
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, geez. Oh, yeah. Baseball tonight, Vanderbilt, 6 o'clock, 6:30, something like that. I keep screwing up the time, so I don't know. It's 2 o'clock tomorrow, and then it is
4 o'clock Sunday because the student athletes need time to prepare academically.
It is going to rain Saturday, and yesterday Vanderbilt wanted to play a doubleheader today to get two out of the way and then play the normally scheduled game on Sunday. The SEC said no. They declined Vanderbilt's request to play a doubleheader today.
Oh, God, you're going to put me in a bad mood. Why?
I do not know the answer to that.
Well, just speculate. I'm asking you to speculate. Tell me, give me some theories. You always have theories, so give me some theories. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm going to make fun of them. But give me a reason why.
They don't want.
So wait, hold on. Was Ole Miss agreeable?
Multiple people that would know told me yesterday that it was happening, and then about 30 minutes later, they said, nah, never mind, the SEC killed it.
So it is your guess that both Vanderbilt and Ole Miss were agreeable to playing a doubleheader?
To the point of already telling their ops people, yes.
Okay.
That is my interpretation.
It's going to rain there Saturday.
Yeah, bad chances of rain around game time.
So rather than getting the two games in, play two nine-inning games. Letting them have Saturday, the pitchers can recover. You don't have to go do that. Hey, let's play the weather watch game. No, just chill at the hotel. Conceivably study.
Get a full day to get some studying in.
Well, no, I'm totally serious here for a minute. Conceivably, you could include a little mandatory study hall sometime during the day Saturday, right? If you're Ole Miss,
you're at
a hotel. I mean, you've got the place. You could say, hey, listen, one to three, we're going to study. Everybody bring your stuff down here. You're going to do your work. More than they're going to do on most Saturdays. I'm not talking about baseball. Just
my,
kids.
My interpretation of it is it's such a bureaucracy at this point that they simply did not want to schedule a complete off day in the middle of the weekend. In case it doesn't rain. Then you just scheduled an off day. That's my guess, if you just made me guess. Because here's the deal. It's putting TV in a weird spot now, too, because now TV at 4 o'clock for a national game is going to get a 7-inning game. Which is going to make no sense, too. Everybody's going to go, whoa, college baseball plays 7 innings, and you're going to have that whole conversation.
Wait, what?
It's a Sunday. You can only play 7 innings on doubleheaders on Sunday. Neil has pushed his microphone away at this moment, so he's you've covered college baseball before. You knew this.
I did not know all these stupid
– Okay, if it's the – listen.
Why?
If it is a doubleheader – on the first or the second day, it is a 9-inning doubleheader, both games.
Chase, they scheduled a 4 p.m. game. You've already admitted that they're not going to get back to Oxford until 1 in the morning. What freaking difference does it make if it's 1:30 instead of 1?
Well, you'd actually get home quicker now because you still can't move out of that 4 o'clock window, so they're going to wait and play the game at 4 but just play 7 innings instead of 9 if it gets rained out on Saturday. No, there's a travel day rule that any doubleheaders on travel days are 7 innings instead of 9 innings.
Okay, wait. I'm expressing this frustration at you. For those of you at home, I'm not frustrated at Chase at all. but Chase is going to feel the brunt of this, apparently. So you're telling me that they're going to play Friday, and if they lose Saturday as a whole, they'll just play the 1 7-inning game at 4 o'clock on Sunday? They're not going to play a game earlier and then...
Well, no, they'll play two games, but they're just both 7 innings.
But what if... So what time do you play the first game?
I don't know, 12, 12:30.
What if it went past 4 o'clock?
I don't know. I think you'd play it at 12 to make sure you got it done in time for 4.
Yeah, because there's never been a 4-hour college baseball game.
But it's only 7 innings.
What if it's tied after 7 innings? What if it's 1-1, 3-3?
I don't have your answer. I'm just telling you, they will not play 2 9-inning games on Sunday. I guarantee it.
So they're going to play a nationally televised college baseball game, and they're going to end it at 7 innings and go, hey, guess what? We're softball.
Unless there's a rule that I'm not aware of that I've never seen, and I've covered a lot of college baseball games. Now, look, you never know. The SEC could do something stupid and give some sort of waiver on that just because it fits their interest, but not give waivers on other things that actually would suit everyone else's interest. They've got a little NCAA about them. You've become exasperated on a day that was supposed to just be kind of...
It's dumb. You know me, man. I'm the common sense party. I vote for the common sense party. If we could start one up, I'm all in. Like, I'd go to the conventions and everything. Common sense says play two today. Both schools, both teams are agreeable to it.
Both teams tried to have that common sense, play two games.
I mean, Tim Corbin said, hey, let's play two today. And Mike Bianco said, you know what, that's a good idea.
Sure.
Let's do it. The umpire said, okay. So you're going to play two games. Play them at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's the home team in both games. Play 2 9-inning games. Let the guys have some orange slices and Gatorade between games. Play the two games. And then they get tomorrow off. It's going to rain. I had my trusty little weather thing up, so I'm pulling up Nashville rain now. Okay, Chase? Can I read you the weather forecast for Nashville? Do you mind? Today in Nashville, partly cloudy, a high of 80. There's 90% chance of rain late tonight. But you could get two in. You could start at 2 o'clock today. Play a game till 5:15. Take a break till 6. Get the second game in. Tomorrow in Nashville, thunderstorms likely. A few storms may be severe. High 69, which is nice. Wind south-southeast, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 100%. 1 to 2 inches of rain expected. Tomorrow night, rain. Cloudy with periods of rain, thunder possible. Low 51. Wind southwest at 10 to 15. Chance of rain, 100%.
Uh-huh.
1 to 2 inches of rain expected. So according to my ULM math skills, 2 to 4 inches of rain expected on Saturday. If you're the Vanderbilt grounds crew, you're also going, hey, it would be a lot easier for us. Just saying.
They have turf.
You still got to cover it.
Yeah.
Life would just be easier if you just play the two on Friday. We'll put down the big cover up, and we'll all bunker down on.
And we'll take it off Sunday morning and have you ready to go for that afternoon 4 p.m. game.
Because Sunday's going to be a problem. Rain showers early with overcast skies later in the day. Chance of rain 60%. But a high of 56, and you probably could get it in.
Game tonight, 6:30, Hawkins Field in Nashville.
Idiots.
This here podcast is brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. They might have to go help Hawkins Field with some different things
they
as this weekend moves along. But for you, pressure washing is the thing they want you to know about right now. It's not an annual contract. They take every year all yard all year long like they do mine. Free pressure washing driveway and sidewalks, or if it's over 2,000 square feet for a pressure washing job, $50 off for that one. 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com.
Hey, Ole Miss fans, living in or moving to Dallas? If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. A rebel by marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top 10 agent producer in D Magazine. She was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood, East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. Call Lauren, 469-867-1734, or go to her website, laurenandkelly, that's with an EY, .com. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or Oxford at 662-281-8800. Also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go, whether it's a new or previously owned vehicle. We tell you about the lease deals all the time. You can get a 1990s price on a brand new Nissan vehicle there at Grenada Nissan. Tremendous service after the sale as well. I've been a Grenada Nissan customer for a long time. Have two of them here at the house. You can trust me on this, Grenada Nissan. They're fantastic. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. He is the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which will hopefully be up sometime Sunday. Go to Harry's site, HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, and then send Harry an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
You want to move on from that and the weather?
Yeah, I mean, stupid. It's one of those few times that we're probably 100% agreement with me. The podcast listeners who normally are like, Neil's nuts, are right now going, he's right.
Okay.
Even you think I'm right. You'd love to fight with me on this because it would be better podcast, but you're like, I can't. He's right.
No, I can't make any logical reason why this makes sense.
Well, no, I mean, I took
the easier argument.
I took the easy argument and rolled with it, and you're going, yeah, that's not, I can't.
You think we can get one of these clauses that are this easy to meet in our contract with Yahoo/Verizon/O/Rivals? Mike Wallace, former Ole Miss wide receiver, now with the Philadelphia Eagles, is listed on the roster at 200 pounds, okay?
Okay.
On Monday morning, when he goes in for camp and weighing, 3 days.
Okay.
Gotcha. If he weighs less than 250 pounds, he makes $585,000 of a bonus.
So as long as he doesn't gain 50 pounds.
By Monday. He makes $585,000.
That's awesome.
That would be probably the Eddie Lacy rule, but either way, working out pretty good for Mike Wallace. Yeah, Field Yates, ESPN reporting source, quote, Eagles wide receiver Mike Wallace, who is listed on the roster at 200 pounds, will earn a massive $585,000 incentive if he weighs less than 250 on Monday when the offseason program begins. Easy money.
Yeah, he can't wait to step on that scale. He's like, here is a pen, sir.
he's going to go to bed Sunday night fine with everything.
Oh, yeah. He's going to wake up bright and early. Honey, I cannot wait to get to the scale. Here is a pin. Sir, if you would like, I'll even hold the pin during the weigh-in. Can you sign this now?
I'll hold a 25-pound weight during this sign-in.
That'd be bright. Like,
yeah. Just do some 40-pound curls. You know you're still good.
Yeah, taking 220s. Say, just chilling. Weigh me. 246. I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Just saw that. Thought it was interesting. A lot of people agreed with your double-decker take. Nobody really jumped on you yesterday about that, I saw.
Well, yeah, because it was – I wasn't saying I was, like, right. I'm saying, for me personally, if you want to get me interested in that, you're going to have to bring a name.
Like as pointed out last night, Amory pulling off two former out-of-their-prime country singers to get people involved for the Railroad Festival here soon.
I know.
Shenandoah.
My man Corey Clark pointed that out. He said, make sure that Chase gets this. And I said, I will.
I like Shenandoah.
I mean, I've heard of them.
Yeah. John Anderson.
And I'm not sure if I've heard of him or not.
Seminole Wind. Just a Swingin'. I think John Anderson's Straight Tequila Night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
There's a song out now about something about tequila. It's on country stations.
I don't know. I'm kind of impressed with Amory, honestly, if they pull those two off. Like
I know.
That's kind of like riding the demographic to get people interested, honestly. I'm sort of there on that. Yeah.
It's Dan plus Shay. The song is Tequila.
What's the gist?
You want me to read you the lyrics?
Why not?
I can still shut down a party. I can hang with anybody. I can drink whiskey and red wine, champagne all night, little scotch on the rocks, and I'm fine, I'm fine. But when I taste tequila, baby, I still see ya cutting up the floor in a sorority t-shirt, the same one you wore when we were sky high in Colorado, your lips pressed against the bottle, swearing on a Bible, baby, I'd never leave ya. I remember how bad I need ya when I taste tequila. When I taste tequila. I mean, to continue, are you good?
I think I'm fine.
The only other stanza that appears to be original is I can kiss somebody brand new and not even think about you. I can show up to the same bar, hear the same songs in my car. Baby, your memory, it only hits me this hard. When I taste tequila, baby, I still see you. The rest of the it's a good song.
All right, well, today's theme is idiocy. I think that is the word we're going to go with for today's podcast.
I know where you're going. That's well done. Yes.
Yeah, this hits close to home for Mr. McCrady. He since his brother lived in Oklahoma City several years ago, as you're well aware for listening to our 7,000 podcasts we've done, is an unabashed Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
I like the Thunder a lot.
He is a Russell Westbrook apologist to the nth degree, anytime is necessary. I think he can admit that.
I think he's a great player. I also think Russell's a pretty good person.
I know. My point is simply that you defend him in most arguments, what the conversation is entailing.
Usually, yes.
There is an amount of bias involved, even if you do believe he is a good player in person.
I am biased in favor of Mr. Westbrook.
You are. Okay. It came to attention in the last 48 hours or so that the play-by-play announcer for the Oklahoma City Thunder, his name is
Brian Davis.
Okay.
He is Caucasian.
Okay.
He's probably in his late 50s.
He's been doing it a long time, the entire width of Mr. Westbrook's career.
He was with the Sonics when the Thunder was the Sonics in Seattle. He made the move to Oklahoma City with the Thunder. He's been doing it the entire – This is the 10th season for the Thunder in Oklahoma City, and it is also the 10th season of Russell Westbrook's professional career.
So Russell Westbrook was having an excellent game, and in the middle of calling the action, he used the adjective cotton-picking to define Mr. Westbrook's play that has since become a hot topic as everything that could even possibly be termed racist in today's media environment is so, and this is the latest example of that. I went to Urban Dictionary for this, and because a lot of times I think something is something and I'm kind of wrong. I was right on this. Cotton picking is a colloquial, is an alternate term for GD, essentially. A slang meaning emphasis, however you'd like that to mean so.
The Washington Post, Matt Bonesteel, said that the adjective cotton picking generally connotes a feeling of either exasperation or astonishment.
Yes.
But, quote, has mostly fallen from use, likely because of its surface connections to a time when black slaves picked cotton in the United States, end quote.
Yes. It's very similar to, I believe the tennis broadcaster's name was Doug Adler, that got essentially fired by ESPN for using the term gorilla, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A.
Yeah, like terrorism kind of thing.
Yeah, like tactical, military tactics.
Yes.
Which is a known tennis term. I believe Nike even had an ad mentioning gorilla. From a
G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, right?
Right, yes.
Not gorilla like the ape.
No. So because Venus Williams was on the court at the time, Adler was at least taken off broadcast, maybe terminated. I didn't follow it all the way through. I think he sued and won or is about to
win.
Well,
I freaking hope so.
To me, and
can you hold that thought? Because I'm going to add to it, because then your thought will have more relevance.
Yeah.
For background, for those of you who don't keep up with the NBA, and I know that's a lot of you, and that's cool. Everybody does their own thing. Oklahoma City played the Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday night. It was the regular season finale. Russell Westbrook needed 16 rebounds to become the first player in the history of professional basketball to have a triple-double average for two consecutive seasons. Russell Westbrook had, in the Thunder's 14-point win over Memphis, 9 points, 20 rebounds, or 21 rebounds, and 19 assists. He played one of his better floor games of the season. And Brian Davis described Westbrook during a part of the game, during the second quarter of the game, when Westbrook took the game over. He said that Westbrook is, quote, out of his cotton-picking mind. Just in connection with the Venus Williams thing, so that now you can make your point.
Well, I don't know what the answer here is, because it's a deep topic, one that would take much longer than one podcast or one segment of one Friday show.
Sure.
But I'm not even necessarily – I'm frustrated by this singular act, because anybody who knows Brian Davis, he has celebrated Russell Westbrook throughout his career. He covers mostly African-Americans because of the makeup in the NBA. It's ludicrous with any context whatsoever to think that he had a racist moment about him in the middle of a broadcast. It makes absolutely no logical sense, much like Doug Adler. I don't know if it's clicks. I don't know if it's trying to make into consumption. I don't know if it's just an environment where now everyone must be offended by every word no matter what. I don't know the answer to that. In a lot of ways, and again, I've talked to people that I respect on this topic immensely, and I can't completely empathize with what goes through anyone's mind that is not of my growing up situation. Here's the deal, too, and this bothers me a lot, too. And this is not a racist statement. It's just a statement. Diversity is about a lot more than color of skin. A lot of things can be diverse. You could have a group of all white people that are very diverse. You can have a group of all black people that are very diverse. You can have a mix of white and black people that are very diverse. There are a lot of things that make diversity through life experiences other than color. But we've gotten to a media landscape point where color appears to be the only defining diversity tactic for a lot of the mainstream media and a lot of non-mainstream media in today's world. And while I don't try to minimize what anybody thinks or feels, because you can't do that, we have lost all ability to have any context, and that's a really scary thought when it is affecting employment and livelihoods and any situation that has real impact on people. I mean,
even reputations.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm having this conversation right now, and I'm putting more pauses in my words than normal because you and I talk 8 to 10 hours a day publicly. We don't remember what we say half the time, and you came back and said, well, you know, 4 months ago you said this. I'd go, maybe, I don't know. And, you know, you never think a word, but you've got to be so careful to never have one single misstep or everything could change in a blink, no matter what your actual context is. That's where I'm getting frustrated in today's environment is it's not even about – it's one thing if somebody really says something stupid, like really goes overboard and says something racist and whatever. But now we are changing – connotations of words and accurate definitions because someone else is not smart enough or not understanding enough to know what the actual context is. That's the scary part to me is like the gorilla thing. You use a technical term that fits. Well, some people may think, so hence guilty. That's an incredibly slippery slope that is scary as hell.
Someone paying the price for the overall lack of education of others.
Yeah.
It's unfair. Think about the average NBA game, Chase, right? It's 2:15, 2:20. Game starts at 7 and ends around 9:30. Right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm good.
Do a pregame show. Go on the air at 7. You do a pregame show that's 6-7 minutes. Broadcast a game. This goes 2 hours and 20 minutes. Then you do a 10-minute postgame. It's a lot of time. 82 games a year. 5 or 6 preseason games. Thunder have made the playoffs. I guess it's 8 out of the last 10 years. So he's done playoff broadcast as well. I mean, that's a lot. You make one mistake. And let's be honest, an innocent mistake.
It's even more uneducated and unintelligent panicking and problems, you know, compared to, listen to what I'm saying, context.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Here. It's like, you know, the word niggardly has completely left our lexicon and our society, and I understand it. I have no issues with that.
Right.
But same thing, but etymologically, that word has nothing to do with the other word,
right?
Whatsoever. The definition, stingy, puny, anything, negative connotation, but in a much different way.
You would never touch that word now.
No, you would never write that as an adjective or as a descriptive term for someone.
No, because you'd get killed by people.
Well, it could be, so hence, in today's social media. And here's the other problem, too. We do this a lot because I like you, I kind of find myself agreeing with him on so many social issues. Chloe Travis. We've spent too much time, and here's the truth. We give too much credence to social media. We give too much power to social media being a true representation or interpretation of how the public consumes something. That's a snapshot of a very dedicated, obsessed group. That is not your average guy in Dubuque, Iowa's reaction to something whatsoever. Social media has made for an uneducated view on how people take in media.
Well, I've talked to people, for example, who were watching, because of where we live, I was forced to watch the Memphis Grizzlies broadcast. The Thunder broadcast was blacked out. But I talked to people who listened to the Thunder broadcast, and they didn't even think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, it became a social media thing, and it happened, Chase, quickly. This was second quarter of the game. By the end of the game, it was a talking point on social media. There are people out there who apparently are so locked in that they're just waiting. They're just waiting. And they wanted Brian Davis's job, and I suspect they'll get it. The Thunder have not done anything to take up for Davis. They've said that they strongly condemn it and that they'll basically will address it after the season. For those who are, again, not NBA people, which is perfectly fine, NBA, like the Fox Sports Oklahoma, Fox Sports Northwest, Fox Sports Chicago, whatever, those broadcasts, the local broadcasts, go through the first round of the NBA playoffs. Things don't go exclusively to TNT and ABC and TBS or whatever until starting with the Western Conference and Eastern Conference semifinals. So Brian Davis has 4 to 7 broadcasts left, depending on how far the Thunder series with the Jazz goes.
I think the timing of the year is going to save him.
It's going to save him for now.
I think it'll save him, period. I think the season will end and we'll move on to something else.
Well, I certainly hope that someone with a prestigious broadcasting career, he's won lots of broadcasting awards. He's very good at what he does. I'm surprised. If that cost him his career, I'm really disappointed. And I'll be really disappointed in the Thunder. And I'm a little surprised, honestly, that Russell Westbrook hasn't come out with a statement in support of Brian Davis.
You're a little bothered by that.
A little bothered. Yesterday was not a media day. It was a day off. Russell Westbrook has become bigger than basketball. He is, whether you like him or not, he is essentially a corporation. And it's possible he has a young son at home. It is possible that yesterday was a day that he unplugged from media and has no real idea of what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's possible. I kind of doubt it. But it's possible that he and his wife and the baby spent a day just unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
Because the playoffs are coming, and everything you do in the playoffs and everything you say in the playoffs is
magnified to the nth degree.
Yes. So maybe this was his one day to the Thunder open the playoffs at home, so they don't have a travel day worked in. So yesterday was a day off. They'll get back at it today. Today, media will ask him about it, and perhaps he will address it today. And it's possible that he didn't want to use social media as his platform, that he wants to wait until he can do it with the cameras on his face to say his support for Brian Davis. I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to see what happens today. But if you're in broadcasting, it has to be terrifying because you're calling a game and fans want emotion from broadcasters. No one's watching a NFL game, right, where the announcer says, the handoff to Murray. He goes from the 24. It appears that he's at the 28. It'll be 2nd and 6 for the Cowboys here on the next. You want emotion. And when someone makes a great play, you expect emotion. It's part of the broadcast. Got to be careful.
Yeah. All right. No good segue. We'll tell you in a second, though, that the podcast is brought to you by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining, fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation. An expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides, no matter the crowds. Mention the podcast and get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation, so contact him for a free, no obligation quote at Brandon at Keys to Dream Travel or 901-634-8687.
This podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons. Without a 5-minute wait, OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating is celebrating 10 years of business this season. So try 7 South Tailgating once and you'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear or you can rent everything from them. No one can match their customer service and attention to detail. Get in touch with them now. They have full season packages, SEC only packages. You can do individual games. You can set up your tailgating as basic or as advanced, for lack of a better word, as you would like. And the people at 7 South will take care of all of it for you. 7SouthTailgating.com. Make sure you tell Kyle and the people there that you heard about 7 South on the podcast. And we're also brought to you by Billy's Pecans. Billy's Pecans is the title sponsor for the Soft Verbal podcast, which was published earlier today. They're also the sponsor of our hotline when guests join us on the program. Let Billy's Pecans handle all of your corporate gifts, whether it's the assorted gift bags, the party trio, the pecans and chocolate. Billy's Pecans has great options for you. If it's corporate gifts for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral, they'll customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes so that your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. It's billyspecans.com, 1-800-624-7404.
Let's see. Sorry.
What's the NFL do about Reuben Foster?
They typically punish per criminal things, don't they?
Yeah, got to punish this hard.
Felony.
I mean, if the allegations are proven, he's going to jail or should go to jail. So the NFL has an interesting juxtaposition here. They've allowed organizations, and I don't know where I stand on this, okay? They have allowed organizations to take a very hard line on, like, anthem things. Essentially blackball Kaepernick from the league. Reuben Foster's a pretty good linebacker. Will they blackball Foster from the league?
Blackball, probably not. Punish, yeah, I think so.
It's an interesting test because you've always said, and I think you're right, Ray Rice was at the end of his career. It was easy to let Ray Rice drift off into the sunset because he really couldn't help you anymore. Running backs in their mid-30s are not getting it done against the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Hardy was expendable at that point. I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah. What do you do with a guy that's still fairly young?
Well, I mean, it's just like the Kaepernick thing. I mean, that's a whole different deal if it's Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's a little cost-benefit analysis on talent versus whatever
else. No question.
I don't know. It all ties in together. It gives me a headache at this point. I don't have your answer, but it's fine. It is what it is. So,
one of our I see you've already responded to it. I just saw it. One of our subscribers has sent us an email. He and I catch ourselves in similar spots.
Yeah, someone in my mailbag today, somebody had asked about scholarship stuff, and I just kind of pasted what I had written in 2013 and said, look, a lot of these numbers probably have changed, but this is the gist of what Ole Miss has been dealing with. Someone with a daughter that is considering the University of Arkansas was very interested in the Arkansas portion of what I had published. And it appears the Razorbacks have somewhat tightened the requirements as time has gone on.
The importance of the ACT. Campbell's a point away from a 10% jump.
You know,
she's taking that bad boy again tomorrow, and I think she has had enough.
You're kind of funny to me a little bit, and you're going to be able to laugh at me in 15 years or whatever, and I get that. But I've spent 10 years pretty much, and you and I have had a lot of conversations where education-wise, we have both promoted learning in a practical and a useful way that can be used as hands-on moving forward. You've become a bit of a standardized test nerd in the last year, much more than practical learning.
Well, I'm embarrassed by it. You're right. I do believe as a society we have overemphasized the standardized test to the point of it being ridiculous.
Oh, it's stupid.
That being said, I don't know that I'm going to have the time right now to lead a revolution against it. And so,
you have jumped on the train here. Well, Core and test.
We have spent, I'm trying to think. I'm trying not to be hyperbolic. I'm going to try to give you a real number.
What, money?
Yeah.
I think you probably almost spent as much as you would just have to spend to pay extra on the tuition, wouldn't you?
We've spent at least $1,200
on ACT prep.
On the last year on ACT prep.
Frankly, that's putting a lot of pressure on the child.
I didn't make her do it.
No, I'm just...
It's really remarkable, the way that it's emphasized, the test. And I get it. I mean, on one hand, and on the other hand, it 'cause not all high schools are the same. But you know, Campbell right now is talking about the medical field, and have you read some of the horror stories about the debt that you leave like dental school or med school with? It is, yeah. You know, you can't leave undergrad with debt and then add that debt. Crazy. Higher education's crazy. Just wait. You're 15 years away. You'll be having these mental conversations with yourself. And if I'm still around, hopefully. If I'm not, you'll say, I remember back in the day. It's crazy. The amount of money that people spend to go to college, often to get degrees that, I won't say they're worthless walking out the door, but you know what I'm trying to get at. It's just, college is crazy expensive. Some of the prices that we've, of schools that she's looked at, or they'll send her stuff and I'll go pull it up for fun. Nuts.
You go, nah.
Nuts. Like, let's just say you decided you wanted to go to Northwestern.
Okay.
And you could get in.
Go Wildcats.
But you just did it, no financial aid.
Oh.
You got in more than $250,000.
Over the course of 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
For a degree that when you get it, trust me, open doors, I get that.
Sure.
It's still more about who you know than what you know, because that's sure. The world today. That is life.
Absolutely. But we're going to look at Arkansas next weekend. She's interested in it. Beautiful, beautiful place. I don't know anything about it.
I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more while I cover the SEC. If Fayetteville were where Tuscaloosa is, I'd love it.
Oh,
it's the distance and the travel to where when you get there, you're in a bad mood.
Yeah. Now, if you're there every day, maybe it's beautiful. There was a thing came out the other day about it's one of the most livable places
Geography swap. What's one or two places you trade with something else from where it's located in the SEC? I think Fayetteville-Tuscaloosa swap might be my favorite, other than the practicalities of having to go to Alabama more for certain things, obviously.
Right.
But just straight, move a campus to get another campus closer.
I think that would be the one.
I think so, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Cool with Baton Rouge being close. Cool with Nashville being close.
Yeah.
Auburn's close enough.
Because once you get up there, it's nice. It's just, you're right. It takes so damn long to get there for whatever. It's taking 40 all the way to Little Rock. By the time you get to Little Rock, you're ready to punch someone.
I'd like to move College Station even farther away.
Yeah,
if at all possible.
I'd like to move it to just another planet.
Yeah.
Like move it to like Jupiter.
Yeah. I think it's Fayetteville, Tuscaloosa. I have no desires to be near Knoxville.
No.
Columbia, South Carolina is a city. I have no desire. Gainesville's meh.
Gainesville is the most overrated meh.
Yeah.
Severely overrated.
I like Lexington okay.
Yeah, I like Lexington.
Lexington's fine.
Lexington's fine. It's nice, in fact. Sometimes you go up there late fall, it's beautiful. Just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I was asked in that mailbag what away game trip they should take, but they made mention that they take one pretty much every year, the family did. With the stupid SEC scheduling, you just take whichever year the East is the away game, you take that one because you're not getting it again for a dozen years now.
Yeah.
The way this schedule thing works in the current SEC setup, like Ole Miss, Georgia was in town a couple years ago. It's going to be 10 more years before Georgia visits Oxford again.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a 12-year rotation on these six teams home and away in the SEC.
So South Carolina comes here this year and will not come back until 2030?
That is correct.
course. And that will change when Oklahoma and another school joins the league in 2024.
Look at you.
What's happening?
2024,
2025, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma and somebody.
So 2026, Ole Miss, Oklahoma will be a conference game.
Yes.
Okay. It's a long drive. Then I'll be trying to make Norman be where Tuscaloosa is instead of Fayetteville.
Yeah. I don't like. We were scheduled to go to Oklahoma next weekend, too, and I don't think we're going to.
You were scheduled?
We had it booked.
Were you?
They were recruiting her. She was going to Sooner Saturday. This is next Saturday. I just don't think we're going to go that far off. It's a long way to send your kid.
Eight, 9 hours?
It's
driving.
Let's find out.
Well, you should know this. You've gone there multiple times.
Ask. Hey, Siri, how far is it from here to Norman, Oklahoma?
It looks like Norman is about 454 miles away as the crow flies.
The crow flies is not helping me in the slightest.
8 hours and 13 minutes. It's 547 miles on the ground.
Okay. And you can't fly her back every weekend. So
it's 20 miles south of downtown Oklahoma City. Population of Norman, 2015 census, is 120,284. Did you know that? I did not know that Norman was that big.
Well, no, I was not aware of Norman's population before this podcast.
Norman is, I'm telling you, Athens West. Not quite as cool as Athens, but it reminds me so much of Athens. It'll fit perfectly into the SEC.
Yeah, location is the problem.
Big time football school. They love some football at OU.
Well, yeah. Oklahoma State coming with them?
I don't think so. I think the SEC is going to make a power play.
East, West. Grab an East team, get Seaboard.
That'd be my guess.
Virginia Tech.
Strong guess.
Virginia Tech.
It's a good guess. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
NC State, Virginia Tech, somewhere in there.
I'd rather have Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech makes a ton of sense.
I'd rather have Virginia Tech. For I don't know why, just kind of would. Raleigh doesn't do much for me. I don't really care for the...
A lot of eyeballs in Raleigh. That's a big market.
That triangle.
Big market.
And you're not getting UNC or Duke.
No.
They're not leaving.
No.
Yeah, it's NC State or Tech.
But, you know, Virginia Tech, Tennessee.
I don't think you could get UVA.
No. I think those schools are kind of stuck together.
Why?
I don't know. Just politics and crap.
If you're Virginia.
If I'm Virginia, I'd jump. I'd jump for the money, but I'm sure that from an academic prestige standpoint, they'd say, oh, we're not going
overrated.
To.
Overrated.
We are not. The sub. We're not going to be in the same league with the University of Arkansas and Mississippi State. No, no, sir.
Yeah, it's killing Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
they're really struggling.
It's really hurting Vandy.
Vandy feels bad when they go grab that check out of the mailbox every year.
Yeah, Missouri's hating life with that money. Missouri without the SEC money right now, they'd be in trouble.
Because they're in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gabe, poor guy, he's taking like the mantle back. He didn't have it for like a week of being covering the most screwed up university in the country, and he just keeps getting it back every couple of weeks. It's oh man. Anyway, podcast.
Can you imagine Oklahoma LSU every year on? I mean, that's a big game. Just think rivalry. You're sitting at home in Dubuque. Hey, Oklahoma LSU, we might watch this. Oklahoma Alabama, it's a big game. If I tell people in Oxford Oklahoma's on the schedule, they go, "Hey, I'm in." Perks your interest. Think the Grove be a little packed for OU, Ole Miss?
Yeah. Hadn't played since the last game of the last millennium.
Yeah, I mean, if I tell people, hey, your home schedule, LSU and Oklahoma coming to Oxford this year, I'm in.
Yeah.
Be a good time for 7 South tailgating. I bet they'd
LSU,
appreciate life.
Oklahoma, Bama, and Auburn.
Jeez.
Done.
Big time.
Yeah.
Mix in I think that's where we're going. I really do. People say, what do you think? I get this question sometimes from people. Like, what do you think college athletics will look like in 10 years? I do believe there's going to be the breakaway. The disparity in funds is such that I think it's inevitable. I don't know about the whole playoff thingy. The four game. Remember, there was a time people said a 4-team playoff is the end of college football. Yeah, it's been a financial windfall. An 8-team playoff is a bigger financial windfall. I think we're going
to go to 6.
You can go to 6.
I'm staying on this topic. I want 6.
6 is fine. I'm telling you, 6 works. 8 works. It works. Anything over 8, you probably start watering it down.
In today's conference setup, everybody gets in and one wild card. Done.
Good enough.
Give 2 byes.
I'm for 8. I don't have a problem with 6.
Yeah.
I'm for 5 conference winners and 3 wild cards.
Neil keeps moving more left on the scale. It becomes more liberal. Now he wants 8. He'll want 12 later. He'll want 16. We'll have a 64-team football playoff in a few years with Neil.
In all seriousness, I can tell you that 16 is as far out as you could ever go, and that's too
much.
That's
too many.
It's too much. It works at the one. But you could do 8 and keep your silly bowls because everyone likes their bowl games. The bowl games, you'll notice, no one's at them, and the TV ratings are huge. And TV's footing the bill, and so you play them. No one goes to the bowl games. But the kids, it's a way to pay the kids, and I'm for that. You can give the kids gifts that they can turn around and sell and make money, and I'm for that.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. Is the website or the location there in downtown Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. Give me your doctor's name, we'll get prescriptions ready, and deliver it to you wherever you are. Also, you go on, fill out the forms. Don't have to really talk to anybody and get it that way as well. Also, same people, Bob Lominick and his guys owning G&M Pharmacy in Oxford now on South Lamar. They deliver local and give you great hometown service.
We've been telling you for a while, the Moonlight Grahams, don't forget, they're going to be at World Music Nashville, 7 p.m. on April the 28th. So that's, what's today, 13th? 2 weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow. Saturday, April 28th, World Music Nashville, 7 p.m. You can. Their album is out on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. You can get tickets to the show at TicketZone.com or at the Moonlight Grahams Facebook page. So don't miss the Moonlight Grahams in Nashville, April 28th.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage that is located in Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. And all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. You can find Jason and the float down option at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Florida baseball doing a Friends promotion night tonight. I'm kind of curious how you can actually play that in, like what all you can do.
You mean like Joey and Rachel and all that?
Yeah, a Friends promotion. I'm seeing it on Twitter.
College kids see Friends?
College kids, an 18 to 22-year-old now. That show went off air in 2006, I think. 2005, 2006?
I'm about to pull it up.
So 12 years ago when it went off. So the kids were 10 that were the oldest kids.
Chase, it went off in 2004.
Oh, was it 4?
Yeah.
Okay, so the oldest kids were 8. Now, it's still on syndication, but
I mean, you see it everywhere, but
yeah. I wouldn't think that would play with college kids today. I think you'd have a better chance of a Seinfeld night than a Friends night, just from a young people maintained standpoint. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'll need a report on Monday to see what happens there. So, close here. I was kind of letting this go public before we said anything. It's hit our message board this morning. I can confirm. Chuck Roundsville had a medical issue a couple days ago. He is stable. He is still in the hospital, but as far as I know, doing pretty well. Again, somebody had mentioned in our message board. So just thoughts and prayers with him. I mean, it's a startling and scary thing for everybody involved or knowing anybody that goes through something. So just kind of bringing that up here, wishing our best wishes because
absolutely,
you know, we've been competing with him for, I guess, about 10 years now. He hired me for my first job out of college early 2007, and when I was actually before I even was finished up, I was just the sports editor DM, so I owe a lot to Chuck. So best wishes to Wanda and Michelle and Gina and his family as he recovers from this. But as far as I know, yesterday got a report yesterday afternoon, doing as well as can be expected following everything. So
we're not sure whether he's already had surgery or is going into surgery.
Yeah,
is that right?
I don't know any details really, other than just the basics yesterday afternoon. Not even 100% sure the exact timeline of when the incident happened. So, but either way.
But yes, thoughts and prayers to him and his family. And Chuck's a good guy, really good guy. So from the sounds of what we heard, his family maybe helped him by getting him to a hospital quickly. So
yeah.
hope that he has a complete
recovery. Well,
obviously
respect his privacy, but pass along anything as relevance in that recovery. So thoughts with him. Again, Ole Miss Vanderbilt, 6:30 tomorrow afternoon at 2, and then 4 o'clock, as we've talked about plenty of times. We'll see if they get 3 games in. Nonetheless, Ole Miss 28-6, 7-5 in the SEC, playing a Vanderbilt team that got swept by Florida, but has turned it around a little bit some other games since then. Very, very athletic, but a little raw. There are a lot of prospects, not as many baseball players maybe that are ready for the college level, but Tim Corbin figuring it out. Very tough test for Ole Miss this week, especially on the mound. Drake Fellows for the Commodores, and I know you're all shocked. They've got a freshman throwing on Sunday that's been excellent for them.
Thought about 97.
Yeah. You know, it's my as I always say, it's my favorite time in Hoover. It's like a Friday, and everybody's taxed, and Vanderbilt just trots out this kid that's thrown like 4 innings all year, and it's 97, 98, 99, strikeout, inning over, and you go, who is that?
Yeah.
Well, you'll know in 2 years.
Yeah.
You'll see him then.
He's going 8th in the draft in 2 years.
He's their midweek setup man right now, but it's going to be all right. So Ole Miss and Vanderbilt from Hawkins Field in Nashville, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.